This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And one thing that's very important to all of us is water, the lack of it this summer, as our lake levels continue to drop due to the drought and the intense heat. And there's always more of a demand on our water system every day because so many more people are moving here to Central Texas and tapping into that water supply. So I wanted to talk to the director of Austin Water, and we had this conversation earlier in the week before we got some much-needed rain. On the line is Shay Rawls-Rolson, who is now the director of Austin Water and has been since the start of this year. How's your year going, Shay?
It's going great. It's been an exciting time. Obviously, we have a lot of challenges, but we have a great team, and we're working hard on taking care of Austin's water and wastewater systems.
Now, you were with Austin Water for quite a while before you became the director, correct?
I was the assistant director for engineering for a couple of years before I became director. And that team is responsible for delivering the infrastructure projects for Austin Water. So I worked all across Austin Water on those projects.
Now, you mentioned challenges, and one of the biggest challenges right now is this drought that we're dealing with and record high temperatures for this summer. Perhaps an obvious question for some people, but what is the primary source of Austin's water supply?
So we get our water from the Texas Colorado River, which flows right through the heart of town, through Lady Bird Lake. It starts up in West Texas and then comes down through the Highland Lakes, which starts at Lake Buchanan all the way down to our Lady Bird Lake. And we have three water treatment plants that take water from the Colorado River. One on Lake Travis and two on Lake Austin.
Okay. And we don't take water out of Lady Bird Lake for drinking, right?
We do not at this time.
Yeah.
Well, our original water plant, the green water treatment plant, took water from Lady Bird Lake.
Oh, okay. But they do use it to water the grass there at Vic Mathias Shores, which is a name that has never caught on. People still call it Auditorium Shores.
That's true. Yep.
We're in stage two water restrictions now. Have we ever had to go to a stage three, to your knowledge?
I do not believe we have ever gone to a stage three.
And these are determined by the lake levels. So when I think Lake Travis and Lake Buchanan get to a certain level, that's what sets off the water restriction levels.
That is exactly right. All of the Highland Lakes are managed by the Lower Colorado River Authority.
Right.
And Lakes Buchanan and Travis are their storage lakes. When they're full, they hold about 2 million acre feet. So an acre foot is the size of an acre, 1 foot deep. So 2 million acre feet is the combined storage when they're full. And then as those lakes drop, depending on weather conditions, then we implement our drought contingency plan.
Are we, to your knowledge, getting close to getting to stage three? Is it getting that bad?
So we are definitely declining. Back in the drought from roughly 2012 to 2016, it got pretty close to stage three, which is 600,000 acre feet,
right,
but it did not reach it. And since then, we have implemented more conservation into our regular use, and LCRA has made some changes to their water management plan as well. So their projections going out over the next 6 months show that we should, as we come into the cooler weather, and hopefully we'll get a little help from El Nino, we should stay pretty level, maybe decline a little bit from where we are. But of course, it all depends on the weather. So right now we're hovering just below the stage two trigger, and we will keep tracking it.
All right. Again, this is Shay Rawls-Rolson, the director of Austin Water. And your service area or jurisdiction extends beyond the city limits, doesn't it? Don't you serve other towns?
Well, we have about 548 square miles service area, and it generally overlaps with the city's ETJ, the sort of outside of the city limits extraterritorial jurisdiction. But it's not totally aligned with that. And we have a number of wholesale customers as well that we serve out of our system, but that's a pretty small percentage of our overall use.
What does a wholesale customer do?
They take water from us and then they own their distribution system and they provide the retail service to their customers. So their source of water is our water. They don't have water treatment plants, but their customer's bill comes from them, not from us.
Oh, okay. I've read in several places that Austin Water's restrictions are a little bit tougher than some of the neighboring cities and towns and areas. Can you get those other guys to kind of catch on?
We work closely with our colleagues and our neighbors. Not everyone gets their around us gets their water from the Colorado River, but those that do are in close coordination with LCRA to make sure that their drought contingency plans align with what LCRA asks their customers to do.
There's several million people that get their water from the Edwards Aquifer.
That's true. And the San Antonio Water System is a big one that out down in San Antonio that gets their water from the Edwards Aquifer. And they also have diversified their sources quite a bit in the last couple of decades.
Uh-huh. It's scary. I was reading about all of the different natural springs that are fed by different parts of the Edwards Aquifer. Some are drying up and some are flowing so low compared to what traditionally, even Barton Springs, the flow of I think it's cubic feet per minute or something like that, is way, way down from what it normally is. And I don't want to be pessimistic, but I don't think it's going to get cooler anytime soon in general in our summers. Mark Murray here with Sun Radio said, hey, next year we might look back at the summer of 23 and say, yeah. And you, of course, have to plan for that and factor in the fact that so many people are moving here. Tell us about Water Forward. I mean, you guys are looking way into the future at Austin Water, aren't you?
That's right. Water Forward is our 100-year water resources plan, and it is looking 100 years into the future. We initially implemented that plan in 2018, and we are updating it now, and we are doing a lot of climate-related work around that plan. So not trying to predict where we will end up, but right. Looking at the probability of various scenarios as it relates to climate impacts on our water supply, and what are the strategies we can start to implement now that will work for a majority of those more probable scenarios. So it's pretty complicated climate work where we are leading the pack in terms of water utilities in doing that work. And it's really helping us prioritize which strategies will serve us best into the future that we can start working on right now.
One of the things that I read that is included in Water Forward, this 100-year plan, is plans on how to store water. The Aquifer Storage and Recovery Program. This is really interesting. You can take an aquifer and make it a storage unit.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what we'll do. When we have extra water, which we do in certain times of the year and in certain years,
right.
We will pump that water from our distribution system out to the aquifer and store it underground.
That's
and then amazing. When in dry years or in emergencies, when we need to bring water back, we will pump it back to our system. This aquifer storage and recovery technology has been in use around the country. It is well proven. It's well understood. It is complicated. There's a lot of hydrogeology that goes into picking where to store your water. You can't just put a well down anywhere. It's got to meet certain geological conditions. But that's what we're working on right now. And that San Antonio uses aquifer storage and recovery, and it has proven very effective for them in terms of shoring up their water resources when they need it.
Again, we're talking with Shay Rawls-Rolson, Director of Austin Water. So you guys are looking at the big picture 100 years from now, and really the way things have been going so fast with climate change in the past couple of years, you almost can't predict what conditions are going to be like. Meanwhile, for people like me, the homeowners, I mean, we have to follow the stage 2 water restrictions, and hopefully people are aware of those. I think you guys do a pretty good job of letting people know what those restrictions are and when you can water and how much and all of that. But do you provide any information for people that, say, want to do more? Like, how can I do more to conserve my own water use and plan for my future?
Absolutely. We have so many resources on austinwater.org. There are a lot of great ideas there. You know, there's some basics, like you said, make sure that you're irrigating only on your watering day and you're only irrigating in the hours specified. Check your irrigation system. Make sure that it's operating properly. Watch for leaks. You know, we're rolling out our new smart meter program, digital water meters, so you can see your water use in almost real time. And we can ping you if it looks like you have a leak, and then you can go find it. And so that's going to be a great tool for everyone once it's fully rolled out. Shorten your shower times. Run your dishwasher when it's full. Run your washing machine when it's full. All of those tips anyone can do. But there's a lot more tips if you really want to do as much as you can on our webpage. So encourage everyone to go check that out.
What about gray water? I know in some places like Las Vegas, that's become an option for homeowners, is gray water. Is that something that an individual can retrofit their house, or is that going to be like a community-wide thing?
We are working right now on the codes and ordinances that are necessary to allow homeowners to use gray water. And so those ordinance changes will go into effect in, you know, over the next year or so, so that people can construct those changes on their own property to be able to use gray water. But we have a lot of rules around, you know, indoor plumbing and connections to the water system and the wastewater system that are intended to protect public health. And that obviously is the highest priority. And so we encourage people to really understand what those codes and ordinances are now for anything that they want to do. And then obviously we'll be communicating like crazy as we're able to implement some of those programs.
So I can't just go to Home Depot and buy a gray water connection kit. And we should explain to somebody what gray water is. It's like the water you used in your washing machine.
The water coming off of your sinks and your washing machine, yeah. Not your shower or your toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to water forward, you really have to look at the worst case scenarios, don't you? You can't plan hopefully.
That's right, especially as it relates to water. We have to have water to have people living next door to one another. And so, you know, we have to plan for the worst case scenario. When we look at the Lower Colorado River Authority's projections for lake levels, we plan against the worst case line. That is a big part of what we do, both in the near term and in the long term.
One last thing I wanted to ask you about, I looked this up and I thought it was interesting. It's kind of scary when you're told, hey, don't take your dog to jump in down at Redbud Trail. The algae blooms there can kill your dog. And there's some other places like that. And then you heard about somebody out in one of the Highland Lakes that got some other kind of weird bacteria and got killed. So they're called cyanobacteria. Is that correct?
That's right. So there's a blue-green algae called cyanobacteria, and it's found naturally in all kinds of water. Our water is warmer right now due to the excessive heat we've had. This bacteria can multiply quickly that creates algal blooms that spread across the water service. And so that's the risk that pet owners have been warned about, you know, not to get into that algae. We do monitor our drinking water for that toxin that is created by that algae. And we have also run tests in our treatment plants to make sure that our treatment processes are effective at removing that toxin. So we are very well prepared. We have a protocol in place for how often we sample, when we ramp our samples up and down, and we coordinate with our partners at the city's Watershed Protection Department to monitor the levels of cyanobacteria and cyanotoxins in our waterways.
Well, Shay, I hope the final quarter of your first year as the director of Austin Water is nice and wet.
Thank you. I hope so too.
Let's fill the lakes back up. I mean, we go from, you know, we go to through these periods sometimes when it's right there up to the top and we're worried about floods, and then we're at a period now when we're worried about when will it rain? It'll come along.
That's exactly right. I agree with what you said before. Just some nice soaking rains would be perfect. We don't need a flood.
Exactly.
But it sure would be nice to get out of this drought.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for your support of Sun Radio too, by the way. And
absolutely.
And I know you listen too, don't you?
I do. Yep. I, in fact, I just got turned on to Briscoe The other day they were guest hosting and I had not heard their music before, and I'm going to go see them at Scoot In on Friday night.
All right. Yeah. They're hosting our artist in residence show every Monday night at 7 o'clock here for the month of September. Shay Rawls-Rolson is the director of Austin Water, and thank you again for your time.
All right. Thank you so much.
Philip Lupton, one of the two guys who are the band Briscoe, was a hydrogeology major at the University of Texas at Austin. So when I told him that Shay had become a fan of their music and what we were talking about, things like aquifer storage and recovery, he's like, man, that's right up my alley. So we got to have Briscoe and Austin Water get together. Thank you to Shay. Thank you for listening. Your comments on today's program and suggestions for topics that you would like to see addressed on a future episode of the Sun Radio Regional Report, always welcome. Studio@sunradio.com.